General Mustafa Kemal, who played a key role in the defense of Gallipoli, has been held back in his career by the jealousy of Enver Pasha.
Enver Pasha was a charismatic young man who wanted to make the Ottoman Empire great. He was aggressive and reckless. Mustafa Kemal, on the other hand, was I think smarter, also a political animal, but was more cautious, was more deliberate in his thinking. Mustafa Kemal, when he arrived at a conclusion, was then ruthless and relentless in his execution. He was a fierce fighter. He was the best commander, certainly in the Ottoman army, and certainly, as Churchill pointed out, one of the best commanders of the whole entire war.
Now, in the spring of 1919, Kemal finally gets his chance. Outside of Istanbul, the social fabric all across Turkey has broken down. It is a lawless land with no central authority. The Sultan is controlled by the Allies, but the Allies no longer have enough troops to maintain security in the Middle East. When civil violence breaks out around the city of Samsun on the Black Sea coast, Kemal is sent there to restore order. He is given broad powers as an inspector general for the army. He arrives in Samsun on May 19, 1919, with a clear mission: galvanize the Turkish nationalist movement into a political reality and raise a new army to drive foreign invaders out of the land. He meets with a small group of like-minded colleagues, and together they draft a declaration of independence. Kemal travels from city to city throughout 1919, recruiting support from local leaders, army officers, and the Turkish people. Even the Muslim religious leaders lend their support in the fight to create a new Turkish Republic. Entire units of troops regroup and seize the weapons they surrendered only recently. Nationalist leaders converge at the city of Sivas to discuss the future of their country. More leaders meet at the fortress city of Erzurum, where Kemal argues that the Sultan's government is nothing more than a pawn of the Allies. Istanbul no longer represents the best interests of the Turkish nation. The Allies know little about 38-year-old Mustafa Kemal, who suddenly emerges at the head of an all-out revolt against European authority. When Lloyd George makes inquiries about Kemal, neither the Foreign Office nor the Intelligence Service can say much about him. They can't even say whether Kemal is acting for or against the Sultan's government. By the end of 1919, Turkish nationalists, known as Kemalists, come to power in a series of local elections. They converge in Ankara, a city in north-central Turkey. Far from Istanbul, British battleships, and invading armies, it is a good location for a new government, which is proclaimed in April 1920. Kemal and his supporters commit themselves to creating an independent Turkish state, free of Western occupation. A few months later, the Sultan's government signs the Treaty of Sèvres with the Allies. Under its terms, large parts of Turkey will be handed over to France, Italy, Greece, and Armenia. Istanbul and the Dardanelles will fall under international control with a military presence. Arabia, Iraq, Egypt, and Palestine will belong to London. And Paris will control Syria and Lebanon. The treaty is a public version of a secret agreement made between Britain and France back in 1916. At that time, British diplomat Mark Sykes and French diplomat François Picot redrew the map of the Middle East to accommodate Western greed for land and oil.
The Sykes-Picot agreement was an arrangement between Britain and France, arrived at about midway through the war, as to how the Middle East would be divided in terms of their own interests when the war was over. This was an agreement that it was essential to hold, Sykes felt, and because he had been told that, by his friends in the Arab Bureau in Cairo, that it was of greatest importance that the British should know what they could give away to the supposed Arab leader, Sharif Hussein. Before they knew what they could give him, they had to know what they were giving the French.
In Ankara, the Kemalist government immediately rejects the Treaty of Sèvres. But the Allies aren't worried. They hold all the cards, or so they believe.